We're starting to look at the I am sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel. And this morning, we're looking at John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus spoke and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Tonight, God willing, we'll move on to John 11, where Jesus speaks of being the resurrection and the life. And following the service this evening, it'll be the Lord's Supper. I'm away for about 12 days. When I come back, God willing, we'll look at John 10, the I am sayings there of Jesus. I am the door, I am the good shepherd. These remarkable claims of Jesus. But if a man were to come into this service this morning, walk out to the front here, ask us to be quiet for a moment and to proclaim, I am the light of the world, you'd have to conclude either this guy is deluded, or you would have to think, well, this is no mere man, this is someone claiming to be the Messiah. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles. During that feast, the Jews performed a ceremony. Four huge torches were lit in the court of the women in the temple. It was a reminder to the people that the Lord had been a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, protecting, guiding, guarding Israel during the desert journey of 40 years. Now, the court of the women was open to the elements. As people would come for the Feast of Tabernacles, perhaps hundreds, thousands of candles would also be lit on the floor. And during that time of the feast, then, there would have been a light shining from the temple at Jerusalem. If you'd be making your way up to the temple, walking, say, from Bethlehem, at night you would have seen something of the glow of that light, a glow that emerged out of the temple. The Feast of Tabernacles must have been quite a sight. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is coming to an end, and suddenly there's this voice, I am the light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke those words in the treasury, John says. The treasury was the place in the court of the women where people would put their offerings in trumpet-like receptacles. How would you have responded if you were listening that day? How should you respond this morning to this remarkable claim of Jesus Christ? Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say the most extraordinary things at the most appropriate times? And what the Lord Jesus Christ says this morning as he makes this claim, I am the light of the world, is a claim that demands a response. I want you to notice, first of all, then, four things about this remarkable claim. The claim of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the light of the world is a claim to be God. From time to time, Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door. I engage them in conversation. They claim to me that Jesus is their saviour, but then they try to convince me that Jesus is not God. And sometimes I point them to the Gospel of John and say to them that the whole point of John's Gospel is that we would join Thomas in proclaiming the risen Saviour, Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God, says Thomas. Now, contrary to the explanation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, Thomas was not swearing. The Lord Jesus Christ would have rebuked him if he had done that. Instead, Jesus Christ commended him for believing the truth. When the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he's making a claim to absolute deity. And I hope this morning you can see that. When John tells us in his epistle, God is light. When the Old Testament scriptures say, the Lord is my light, Jehovah, Yahweh is my light. When Isaiah looked forward and said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. When Isaiah goes on to say, the Messiah is appointed to be the light to the nations, to the world. When Jesus announces, I am the light of the world, he's making a claim to be equal with God. As God is light, Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. Now the Pharisees complained. They said, talk is cheap. Who are you to be saying these things? Jesus answered them and said to them in verse 14, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, for I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. The Lord Jesus Christ goes back to their law. What he's saying is, what I'm saying is true because I'm an expert witness. It would be like me saying to you that I'm an expert witness about Gor Seinen. You say, where is that? I've never heard of it. Gor Seinen is the town where I was brought up. I lived there all through my childhood. I can guarantee that I know more about Gor Seinen than any of you this morning. Even my wife, who lived there with me for a while, if I was to ask her some of the things I knew as a child about Gor Seinen, if I asked her about the snake path, I don't think the black path, there would be things about Gor Seinen I know that she doesn't know because I was there for a long time. I could tell you about all the good things of that town, many good things, one or two bad things. Not many bad things. But what Jesus is saying here is astonishing. He's saying, I am an expert witness about God and heaven. I am an expert witness about my Father. That's where I've come from. Heaven is my home. That's where I've lived. I can give you all the details of it because I'm an eyewitness of where I've come from and my Father's glory. It's a breathtaking claim. He's saying, I am a witness and there is another witness who bears me up. The Father, he says, bears witness of me. Through the miracles that Jesus does, through the Old Testament scriptures that he's fulfilled, and through the Father's approval of Jesus Christ, there are these witnesses that agree, says Jesus, my claim is valid, I bear witness, my Father bears witness, I am the light of the world. He's saying, I am the effulgence of the glory of God. Jesus' claim to be the light of the world means that he reveals the truth about God to us. He's come from the Father, he says, and he's returning to the Father. That's why Jesus can say, he who has seen me has seen the Father. That's why John can say at the beginning of his gospel, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. You want to know who God is and what God is like? If you have some trouble getting your head around the fact that God is invisible, that God dwells in unapproachable light, the God whom no man can see, then the Bible says to you this morning, look to Jesus Christ. He reveals God to you, and he reveals the truth about God to you. You can only know the Father through the Son. And Jesus' claim to be the light of the world also means that he reveals the truth about us to us. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible is saying to you this morning, you don't really know yourself. The human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. When we don't know God, we call good evil and evil good. We substitute darkness for light. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, if we do not follow him, we are walking in darkness. We think we know we're going. where we're going, but we're wrong. We deceive ourselves. So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying something here that the Bible plainly states, that apart from him, we're in the darkness of our sins. Paul combines the imagery of darkness and spiritual death. In Ephesians 4:18, he says, Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the blindness of their heart. So the Bible is speaking about a darkness in the human heart that is a personal, experiential darkness. In John 3, when the Lord Jesus Christ met Nicodemus, he said to Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why can't he see it? Because of the darkness. And you sort of smile when Nicodemus says to Jesus, I don't understand what you're talking about. Jesus is saying to him, unless you come into the kingdom, you can't understand. And Nicodemus says, I can't understand. I don't know what you're saying. And Jesus has to reassure him. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When Nicodemus says over and again, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to him that his talk confirms exactly what he's explaining, that naturally human beings are in the dark. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ at the Feast of Tabernacles, and perhaps at the end when the lights have gone out, and this booming voice, I am the light of the world. If you believe in me, says Jesus, you'll walk out of spiritual darkness into the glorious sunshine of new life, forgiveness and glory. I wonder if it's ever dawned on you that you are in the dark without the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus says, if you put your trust in him, you will not walk in darkness. You will have the light that gives life. So for those who are in darkness, he is the one who deals with darkness. How did Jesus deal with the darkness that is in the human soul? When the Gospels speak of the cross of Calvary, what happened when the light of the world was nailed to the cross? There came that moment for the Lord Jesus Christ when he was lifted up from the earth. And upon the cross, at midday, there was darkness for 3 hours. When it should have been bright sunlight in Jerusalem, there was darkness. What was happening? The Lord Jesus Christ was taking upon himself the darkness of human sin. As our sins and transgressions were imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was in darkness. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer is because Jesus Christ had entered the darkness, bearing human sin. Become our substitute, that by faith in him this morning, you can walk out of the darkness into the light. This remarkable claim of Jesus Christ, then, it means that he reveals the truth about God to all people. Notice here the Lord Jesus Christ does not say he's the light of the Jews only. I am the light of the world, he says. Now, other religions claim to enlighten. Philosophers speculate about the great questions of life. But Jesus Christ is saying here, compared to him, it's darkness. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ, says the Bible. When Jesus is saying he's the light of the world, he's saying that people can't figure out spiritual truth and reality apart from him. But as Jesus Christ is proclaimed, God opens blind eyes by the power of the Holy Spirit. He shines light into the darkness. I am the light of the world, says Jesus. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It's a remarkable claim. Secondly, we also see here the wrong reaction. There are those who reject this claim of Jesus Christ, and they reject the claim on superficial reasons. The Pharisees' reaction to the Lord Jesus Christ's remarkable claim was to say in verse 13, "You bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true." Now, in saying that, they're ignoring the miracles of Jesus Christ. They're ignoring the teaching of Jesus Christ. They're ignoring the witness of John the Baptist. They're ignoring the Old Testament prophecies that all point to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Later, they will reject the mighty miracle of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. They're rejecting him for superficial reasons. People who do not want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ come up with all sorts of superficial reasons for rejecting him. It may be that what the Pharisees are doing here is going back to Jesus' statement in John chapter 5 and verse 31, where Jesus had said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." In other words, if he acted independently of his Father, his witness would be invalid. But again, in John 5, Jesus was saying the Father did testify of him through the witness of John the Baptist, through the miracles that he performed, through his fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies. The Pharisees here are not raising honest questions. What they're doing is they're rejecting the witness that has been given. They're looking for an excuse to reject Jesus' claims. The Lord Jesus Christ has come from heaven. He's going to return to heaven. He makes this claim to be the light of the world. The Pharisees are in the dark, and they judge the Lord Jesus Christ outwardly, according to the flesh. When the Pharisees say to him in verse 19, "Where is your Father?" Now they're thinking of Jesus as having a human father. Rumours about Mary's pregnancy, questioning Jesus' paternity. But the Lord Jesus Christ answers, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." The only way you can come to the Father is through the Son, Jesus is saying. But by refusing to trust in Jesus Christ, these religious leaders, they choose to remain in spiritual darkness. In their minds, they even had biblical reasons. But the so-called biblical reasons are superficial excuses. The root reason people reject Jesus is that they're in spiritual darkness. And people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil, John says. Listen to John 3:19. "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Those who do not trust in Jesus Christ are living in spiritual darkness. And the evidence of the spiritual darkness is people want to keep Jesus Christ out of their life. Push him away, push him away, push him away. Now, pushing Jesus Christ out of your life does not eliminate God as the sovereign, creator, sustainer, and judge of the universe. He is sovereign over all. The Father who sent his Son into the world to give his life as a ransom for many, he's the one who will one day return, Jesus Christ returning as the sovereign God, when every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. The reason here the Pharisees reject Jesus is they love their sin. They want to hold on to their power, their influence, their money. To acknowledge him means all their religious system will collapse. They don't want the light to expose their evil deeds. So this is a remarkable claim. We see the wrong reaction. If you are pushing Jesus Christ out of your life this morning, the root problem, says the Bible, is loving darkness rather than light. Thirdly, then, the right response. The right response to the Lord Jesus Christ's claim is to trust in him. He is the light of the world. Verse 30 tells us, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. What's it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? To trust in Jesus Christ? Well, to trust in Jesus Christ means to embrace him as your Saviour and to obey him as your Lord. You won't follow someone who you don't trust. Suppose you're hiking in the woods and you end up getting a bit lost and there are many different trails leading in different directions. And I say to you, follow me. I know the way out of here. Now you have to know, do you trust me? Do I know what I'm talking about? If I'm also always getting lost and confused and don't know the right direction, you're not going to follow me. But if I've been in the woods many times, I know my way around, I know the trails, I know the way out, you'll follow me. But if you say you're following me, but actually wander off in a different direction, then you're not really following me at all. So to follow someone means to trust him and to follow him, to obey him. So I'm asking this morning, do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Do you obey him as your Lord? Do you trust these claims that Jesus Christ is making about himself? Do you trust the apostolic witness to Jesus Christ? Do you trust that he died for your sins, was raised from the dead? Do you trust his promise to come again in glory, that he'll judge the living and the dead? And do you translate that trust into obedience to his commandments? When you trust in Jesus Christ like that, you embrace him as your Saviour. You obey him as your Lord. There are many results. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world, you have the promise of his presence, his protection, and his guidance. Now, there are many things we could talk about. The joy of trusting in Jesus Christ. But if we use the picture of the pillar of fire that lies behind the claim of Jesus Christ's claim to be the light of the world here, the God who led his people by his presence in the wilderness with a pillar of fire. Now Jesus Christ comes and says, I am the light of the world. What did that pillar of fire do for the people of God in the Old Testament? God's presence, God's protection, God's guidance. Exodus 13:21 puts it like this. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I am that light. I'm the one who leads the people of God into the way of salvation. I'm the light of the world. I'm the one who leads God's people into the way of truth and the way of fullness. Throughout all that time, when Israel was in the wilderness, a cloud over the tabernacle symbolized God's presence with his people. Now comes Jesus Christ promising his people his presence as his people take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So the Bible tells you this morning, if you're a Christian, you are in Christ and he is in you. Jesus promises, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he promises the Christian this morning, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The fire and cloud protected Israel from Pharaoh's advancing army. gave protection from the blazing sun during the day and the cold at night. Who is the protection of the people of God? Who shelters us from the wrath of God against sin? Who protects us against spiritual enemies that war against our soul? The Lord Jesus Christ, a sovereign protector I have. Unseen, yet forever at hand. Unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. The Lord Jesus Christ is the protector, the sovereign protector of his people. Israel was guided through that harsh, untracked desert wilderness as the pillar of fire moved, as the cloud moved, the people followed. They were guided to springs of water. God charted the course for his people to a promised land. The Lord promises to guide his people this morning by his word and by the Holy Spirit. He gives us wisdom. Particularly in times of trials, he gives us wisdom as we come to him in prayer. This remarkable claim of Jesus Christ, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, draws a line amongst all the people of the world. Asks you this morning, whose side are you on? Will you take the side of the Pharisees and reject the claims of Jesus Christ? You don't want the light exposing the darkness. Or will you follow him as Saviour, obey him as Lord? See, Jesus Christ here is either someone walking in here this morning saying, I am the light of the world. Either this is a religious nutcase, or this is the Messiah. These claims of Jesus. But there is ample evidence for you this morning in the Bible that his witness is true. I am the light of the world, says Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says something very stark if you reject his witness, the witness of God to him. We read in verse 24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That is to say, dying under the judgment of God. You see, unless your sins are covered, unless your sins are dealt with, unless propitiation has been made and God's anger turned away, unless the redemption price has been paid, you die in your sins, dying under the judgment of God. Now, darkness is a terrible thing. There was something a bit frightening down in that big pit in the coal mine in South Wales when all the lights went out and there was no natural light at all. I can remember taking hold of Matthew and David's hand. They were very little and they both grabbed my hand very tightly. It was a bit frightening to be in that pitch black darkness. That's the human condition spiritually, says Jesus Christ. And there's an eternity of darkness, an outer darkness that awaits those who will not trust in him. So Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. Don't stay in the darkness. Don't walk in darkness. Don't head towards an eternity of darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to you this morning by his word and by the Holy Spirit. When all other lights are extinguished, the Bible is saying to you this morning, put your trust in Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. Put your trust in him now. Your light, the light who will lighten up and bring light into your darkness. Let me give you an opportunity to do that now as we pray together. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you this morning that you are the light of the world. We thank you that there are many here this morning who testify to the fact that once they walked in darkness and then trusting in you, light shone into mind and heart and life. And we pray, Lord, that there will be that response to your word, even this morning. A response that says, Lord Jesus, I want to trust in you as my Saviour. Embrace you as my Saviour. Obey you as my Lord. Come, shine that light into the darkness of my heart. Dispel the darkness. Scatter the darkness. Scatter the gloom of unbelief. And bring light, cleanse from sin. Bring new life. Jesus Christ, trusting in you, you are the light of the world. So, Lord, bless your word to each heart this morning. Every believer here thanks you for the guidance and protection and your presence, your promised presence with us always, in every circumstance of life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are that light that we need. And we bring you our praise this morning. Lord, accept our thanks as we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn together. Someone suggested this hymn to me last Sunday, that if we did the I Am sayings of Jesus, this would be a good hymn to sing. And it is 579. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. The last verse puts it like this. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun, the one who brings light. And in that light of life I'll walk till travelling days are done. 579. Let us pray. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all the people of God, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.